present murder in an ice-cold manner. It is the winter of 1947, the coldest winter for 50 years. The play is set in Stocksley Manor, the home of Sir Brian Burroughs. Sir Brian is an extremely wealthy book publisher and self-made millionaire. He is ruthless in business, having made his money before and during World War II through shady dealings on the black market, and also by exploiting up-and-coming authors by tying them into long-term contracts and paying them a pittance. He has recently bought Stocksley Manor, fulfilling his life's ambition to become the local squire. He is a persistent womanizer. His wife is Lady Sylvia Burroughs, once one of the country's most famous actresses on the West End stage. She was previously engaged to Lord Guy Stocksley, but fell for the dubious charms of Sir Brian and broke off her engagement to Guy to marry Brian. Brian insisted she give up her acting career to become Lady of the Manor. Lord Guy Stocksley is the 10th Earl of Stocksley. His family lived at Stocksley Manor for generations until, at the end of the war, crippling taxation and bad investments forced him to sell the family seat to Sir Brian. Under the terms of the sale, he rents a cottage on the estate so that he can still see his beloved old home. Mirabel Baker, known as Mimsy, is secretary to Sir Brian and is in love with Lord Guy. She constantly has to fend off the unwelcome advances of her employer. Visiting Stocksley for the first time is Ruth Conrad, an old friend of Lady Sylvia's and a top-selling murder mystery novelist, whose books are published by Sir Brian. Her most popular novels, featuring the elderly detective Mrs. Maple, make a fortune for Sir Brian, but very little money for Ruth. Catchpole has been the butler at Stocksley Manor for many years and was a devoted servant of the Stocksley family. Under the terms of the sale of the manor, he has been retained by Sir Brian, but bitterly resents the fact that he now has to serve such a common and unpleasant man. Our play begins as Sir Guy Stocksley and Catchpole enter the drawing room of Stocksley Manor.
This way, if you please, my lord.
Thank you, Catchpole, my old friend. At least it's warmer in here than outside. It's bitterly cold out there.
I'm afraid, my lord, that Sir Brian has asked me to put you in here and leave you until he is ready for you. I am even instructed not to offer you a drink, my lord. Oh, dear. It all seems so wrong.
But not your doing, Catchpole, and precious little either of us can do about it. We shall both have to make the best of it.
Yes, my lord, but I do long for the days when you and the Stocksley family were in residence at Stocksley Manor, as it was meant to be, and as it had been for generations and generations until
the blasted war did for Hitler, and the class system, and my bloody investments went bust. I lost almost every penny I had, plus Stocksley Manor. I was lucky to be able to sell it, you know. Very few people had that sort of cash at the end of the war.
Yes, but Brian Burroughs did, didn't he, my lord? I can't believe he made all of that from publishing books. Or like something shady, like the black market, if you ask me, my lord. How he got a knighthood.
Now, Catchpole, we don't know that, and like it or not, Sir Brian Burroughs is your employer. Aristocracy or not, He is the master of Stocksley now, not me. And you are lucky to have kept your job.
Thanks to you, my lord.
Yes. Yes, I wouldn't sell Stocksley Manor to anyone who got rid of the family's old faithful friend. He is making me wait, isn't he?
I am afraid, my lord, that he takes great pleasure in collecting your rent from you personally, making you travel up here from the lodge on a night like tonight. Many roads are closed, and I don't believe a train has been seen in Maidenhead for days.
Oh, don't worry, Catchpole. I drove around the lake in that old jeep the Yanks left behind in 46. They got through the snow, no problem. Besides, it's only a 30-minute walk around the lake, even in this weather. Pity I can't walk on water, or it would only be 5 minutes straight across.
Oh, sir, I do miss your sense of humour. Stocksley Manor sees few laughs these days, mind you, my lord. I did hear that jeep coming, like everything American, very noisy.
A bell rings somewhere as a summons.
Oh, do excuse me, my lord, I think Lady Burrows requires me.
Catchpole exits.
Lady Burrows. Sylvia, how did you end up with Brian Burrows instead of me? Britain's most glamorous and famous actress. A rich young aristocrat. We would have won the war, just the two of us alone.
Brian Burrows enters and heads for the drinks table.
Ah, Brian.
Have you got it, Stocksley? What weather? You should think yourself lucky that you only have to keep that tiny little hovel of a lodge. Costs us a fortune to eat 20 bedrooms and 10 or is it 12 bathrooms? Did Catchpole not get you a drink? Oh, well, no point in offering you one now, since you won't be staying long.
Actually, Sylvie has asked us to dinner later.
Yes, later. Now, have you got it or can't you afford it? Come on, hand it over.
Guy produces a thick pile of banknotes and hands them to Brian. Brian counts the notes as if he doesn't trust Guy.
Yes, all there. Just. Very reasonable for a week's rent for a country residence. Small, yes, but with a fine view across the lake to one of Britain's most impressive manor houses. My manor house. Let's face it, Stocksley. You're a loser. You lost the woman you loved to me. And you lost your ancestral home to... oh, yes, me.
Guy, despite himself, is becoming increasingly incensed by Brian's taunts.
Show yourself out, won't you, Stocksley? Catchpole has more important matters to attend to. I think he's changing the toilet rolls at present.
Brian puts down a half-finished drink and exits.
Loser, eh? You stole the woman I loved. You stole the home that had been in my family for generations. You humiliate me every week with this ridiculous ritual of collecting the rent. I'd like to kill you for this, Brian Burrows.
Guy exits. A short time passes. There is the sound of howling winter wind. Catchpole enters, followed by Ruth. Ruth has a bandaged finger.
This way, madam. If you'll just wait here, I'll inform her ladyship of your arrival.
Oh, thank you, Catchpole. I shall be glad to feel warm again. It's freezing out there.
Yes, madam. They say it's the coldest winter for 50 years. Some of the water pipes are frozen solid.
Catchpole exits.
Well, Brian Burroughs, you've certainly done all right for yourself, haven't you? Famous wife, big mansion, servants, the lot. And most of it due to my money, you crook.
Sylvia enters.
Oh, hello, Sylvia.
Ruth, how nice to see you.
They kiss in an affected and artistic manner.
And how is the rich and famous novelist? Your murder mystery whodunit still topping the bestseller lists?
I'm very well, dear, although famous, but not rich. Thanks to... well, never mind. And how is the famous actress and lady of the manor?
Oh, once famous, dear. I'm bored, so bored. I miss all my friends in London, and even you have been neglecting me.
I just haven't had the time to get away, Sylvia. Your husband is a slave driver, but I suppose all publishers are the same. How are you, anyway, after your fall?
Oh, the casts have been off a few weeks now, and the doctor has given me some exercises to do to get the strength back in my wrists. But it's a slow job. They are so weak. I couldn't even get the top off my face cream jar earlier. I had to get Catchpole to do it.
Well, you look after yourself, dear, especially when walking in this snow.
But what about you? What have you done to your poor finger? Why the bandage?
Oh, it's just a bad cut. I say just. There was a bit of blood and I'm afraid I fainted at the sight of it.
Oh, dear. Was it that bad?
No, not really, but I'll let you into a little secret. According to my doctor, I suffer from haemophobia.
From what, dear?
Haemophobia, a major fear of blood. At the sight of it, mine or anyone else's, I get so panicked that I sometimes faint clean away.
Oh, no. Yet your best-selling murder novels are full of blood-covered corpses.
Yes, dear. I can write about as much blood as you like. I just can't bear the sight of the real stuff. Oh, anyway, never mind me. So you miss the theatre, do you?
Oh, yes, Ruth. The excitement, the audience. Here I find myself performing for the dogs. They don't applaud, but at least they make a lot of excited barking noises.
But why have you given it up? Surely being married doesn't mean you can't still take the West End theatres by storm.
I was stupidly besotted with Brian when we first met. I would have done anything to marry him. I broke off my engagement to Guy, and then when he bought this place off Guy, well, I promised to give up the stage and become the lady of the manor, and here I am. But why should I stick to my promise when Brian doesn't stick to his, especially when it comes to women?
Why? What has he done?
Brian enters and has heard what Ruth has said. He heads for the drinks as usual.
What has who done?
Hello, Brian. I was just talking about your butler. Catchpole, isn't it?
Catchpole? What's he been up to now?
Nothing, dear. I was just saying how valuable he is to us. In his own peculiar way, of course.
Oh, peculiar? Oh, the man's peculiar, all right. Nothing obvious, of course. Always polite. But he has that air of condescension about him, mainly towards me. Of course, all that changes when Lord Guy Stocksley comes to visit. Oh, yeah. Then it's yes, my lord, no, my lord, three bags full, my lord.
Well, Guy was once his employer in this house, Brian, and he's still Lord Stocksley. It's natural that Catchpole should defer to him.
Is it? Well, how about a little deference towards the one who pays his wages? These days, Guy Stocksley hasn't two halfpennies to rub together. Took all the money from the sale of the estate to pay off his debts.
You amaze me, Brian. If any of your staff at the office developed an attitude towards you, their feet wouldn't touch the ground.
Too right they wouldn't. Unfortunately, I can't sack Catchpole. It's all part of this damn silly agreement with Stocksley he insisted on before he would sell me this place. Catchpole came as part of the fixtures and fittings. I got rid of him. It would cost me a fortune in compensation.
So, Guy Stocksley insisted on you keeping his butler on. Did he make any other conditions?
Too right he did, bloody nerve. If I die, the Stocksley family get first option to buy the place back. Damn cheek! I wouldn't have agreed, but, well, Sylvia said that if anything happened to me, she wouldn't want to stay on here anyway.
I see. But if Guy has no money, how can he hope to buy the place back, even if you were to tragically die?
Exactly. It takes him most of his money to pay me his rent, let alone buy him back Stocksley Manor. That's what cheers me up about the whole deal.
Brian, don't be horrible. Guy and I may have broken off our engagement years ago, but I still think he's a charming man, Ruth. You'll be able to judge for yourself tonight. He's coming to dinner.
Brian gives a snort of derision.
Really? I look forward to meeting him. Where does he live now?
Right here, within the estate. He lives at the lodge just across the lake.
Yeah, another one of his damned conditions before he'd sell me the house. Still, this way I have the pleasure of collecting rent from him every week. He didn't have much option. It was either that or renting a one-bedroom flat somewhere, all he could afford. This way he can imagine he's still lord of the manor. I don't think he can let go of the place.
Ruth looks at Brian with distaste.
You mentioned my room, Sylvia. I think I'd like to go and up and unpack.
Of course, dear. Your bags should be up there. I'll get Catchpole. He'll direct you.
Sylvia rings a bell.
In a house this size, I will need guidance. I will never find my own way.
Well, Catchpole will put you right. He knows every nook and cranny in this place.
Catchpole enters.
Ah, Catchpole. Can you show Miss Conrad to her room, please? She has no chance of finding it herself. She would get lost in a bungalow, let alone Stocksley Manor. Now, if you'll excuse me, I want to go and speak to Cook about the menu for tonight.
Sylvia exits.
Before you show Miss Conrad her room, Catchpole, can you just tidy up these glasses and things?
Very good, sir.
Catchpole begins to tidy up while clearly listening to the following conversation.
I got a rather satisfying bit of news today, Ruth. I'm not really supposed to tell anyone, but it seems that I'm in line for a peerage. How about that then, huh? I will be Lord Burrows of Stocksley. Every inch the aristocrat, just like Guy Stocksley. And the best bit will be that everyone, and I mean everyone, who wants to keep his job, will have to call me my lord.
Brian exits.
Brian Burrows a lord. Good heavens.
Call him my lord? Not a chance. I'd like to kill you for this, Brian Burrows. This way, if you please, madam.
They both exit. A short time passes. Outside, the wind is still howling. Brian enters, followed by Mimsy. Brian heads straight for the drinks table. Mimsy has her right arm in a sling and holds a bundle of papers awkwardly in her left arm.
These papers are ready for signing, Sir Brian.
Not now, Mimsy. I'll see them in the morning.
Oh, but I was hoping to catch the post.
Well, there's nothing that can't wait. In any case, I can't see the post office picking anything up in this weather, can you?
Oh, very well, sir. Is there anything else you want from me now?
How is your poor wrist today?
Oh, the doctor says it's only a sprain, but I cannot use it for another few days. It was lucky I'd done most of the typing before I slipped and fell on it this morning. I've been since typing one-handed, and it is a slow business.
Brian advances towards her, and she backs away.
Well, I'd better go now. Lady Burrows has asked me to dine with you later, and there are a few things I'd like to do first.
Well, don't go just yet. Stay with me a little while.
Mimsy tries to get past Brian and leave, but he blocks her way, making her drop her papers on the floor.
Oh, Sir Brian, you made me drop the papers.
Why are you always in such a rush? Listen, let me pour you a drink and we can talk.
What do you want to talk about, Sir Brian?
Brian pours Mimsy a large drink and forces it on her.
Now, I've told you before, Mimsy, out of working hours, the name is Brian, just Brian.
I didn't know we were out of working hours. I thought you wanted a discussion.
A discussion? I just wanted a chat. It's between friends.
What about?
About us, of course. You must know that I find you attractive.
Sir Brian, please. You've made these sort of remarks before, and you know I don't like them.
Oh, come on, Mimsy, don't be shy. You're not shy with that guy Stocksley, are you?
Lord Stocksley is a very good friend and is not married since you stole Lady Sylvia from him all those years ago. I think he's been very unfortunate.
Rubbish. Born with a silver spoon in his mouth, sheltered from the real world. What has he got to complain about? Now he's having to face up to facts like everyone else. I won Sylvia fair and square. I made it on my own merits. Why shouldn't he do the same?
I don't think I want to continue with this conversation. Guy has lost everything. The house he was born in, his wealth, his social life, and now he lives in a rented house which used to be occupied by his gardener. The worry has made him ill, and you have done nothing to help.
Sylvia enters and witnesses what happens next. Brian advances on Mimsy, who shrinks away.
The poor fellow. Like you say, he's a loser. Not worth you wasting your time on. I've got the money now. I could show you a good time. Come on, just one little kiss. Like the sort you give Guy, only better.
Stop right there. I'd like to kill you for this, Brian Burrows. Take that.
Mimsy throws her drink in Brian's face. She storms out without noticing that Sylvia has been watching. As Sylvia passes the drinks table, she picks up a half-finished drink.
So, still up to our old tricks, are we? I'd like to kill you for this, Brian Burrows. Take that!
She throws the drink in his face. She storms out.
Women!
Brian pours himself yet another drink and is just about to enjoy it when Ruth enters.
Ah, Brian, I'm glad I've caught you. I want a word.
Brian puts down the drink in frustration.
If it's business, Ruth, it can wait. The office is closed for the day.
This can't wait. Every time I try to talk to you about it, you make some excuse. I'm not going to be put off again.
If it's about your contract, forget it. I've heard it all before.
Of course it's about my contract. I'm a best-selling author. But what you pay me from the sale of my books is peanuts.
Listen, when you signed that contract with me, you were nobody. It was me who made you into a top writer. Without me, you'd still be nobody.
That's not true. Other publishers would kill to have me on their books. Murder on the Marlowe Donkey topped the bestseller list for 4 months. You tricked me into signing that contract by making me think I wasn't very good, and that you were doing me a favour.
Tough. You sign, that's all that matters.
You make a pound for every penny I make.
So what? You don't sell any books. I do that. And publishing books is a costly business. I hardly make any money out of it either.
That's right, Brian. You make so little money that you could afford to buy Stocksley Manor.
Now, don't get clever with me, Ruth. You're not the only author on my list.
No, but I'm the top seller. I want a new contract. The present one is totally unfair, and it still has 5 years to run.
5 years, 5 days, whatever. It's still legally binding.
I'll sue you.
You try it. You have no chance of winning in court, and the bill for costs would bankrupt you.
Oh, you tight-fisted swine. I'd like to kill you for this, Brian Burrows. Take that.
She picks up Brian's drink and throws it in his face. She storms out. Brian gives a sardonic laugh.
Kill me. Kill me. The only killing is going to be the one I make on your next book, Ruth Conrad. Dinner is going to be fun tonight, isn't it?
He exits. Several hours have passed. The wind is still howling. Catchpole shows in Guy and Mimsy.
The other guests are not down yet, my lord. Please have a seat in here. I will let Lady Barrows know that you've arrived. I knew it was you, my lord, because...
Yes, the noise of that old jeep, Catchpole. We know. No chance of arriving unannounced in that thing, but better than half an hour walk around the lake in this weather.
Catchpole exits.
Oh, Guy, I hate to think of you living in that pokey little lodge place. This is where you belong.
Oh, I don't know. It could be a lot worse. I'm still living on the estate, and I have wonderful views of the house and the lake. I can look at the sea and remember the good times we used to have. We used to have a couple of boats on the lake, you know. A sailing dinghy and a rowing boat. We had hours of fun out there.
Oh, what happened to the boats?
Well, the dinghy had to be sold along with everything else. The rowing boat became so decrepit, it sank. It wasn't just for fun either. It was handy for crossing the lake. You could get from one side to the other in a couple of minutes. I could do with it now when I come over to pay Burrows the rent.
And the agreement you signed says it has to be paid in person. That's disgraceful.
Yes, but it also says that I have the first option to buy Stocksley back at some future date if Burrows dies. But that's just pie in the sky, I'm afraid. Looks disgustingly healthy to me, and I'll never have that sort of money unless a miracle happens. Still, I have you, and that is enough of a miracle for now.
They kiss passionately. Catchpole enters.
Begging your pardon, Lord, Miss Baker. There's been a telephone call from Jenkins and Hoddle, your solicitors. The young secretary didn't seem to realise that you don't live here any longer. But since you are visiting, they said it was urgent, my lord.
You could use the telephone in here.
Thank you, Catchpole.
Catchpole exits. Guy heads for the telephone and dials.
Oh, hello. Yes, Lord Guy Stocksley here. Could I speak to Mr. Jenkins, please? Oh, hello, Neil. Yes. Yes? Who? Oh, Roland. Yes, I remember. Well, some sort of cousin of my father's moved to Canada before the war, and he's died. Well, I only met him once when I was a boy. He's what? Me? There's no one else? Well, I'm damned. Well, yes, I'll call in tomorrow if I can get through the snow. Well, thanks for letting me know. Goodbye.
Darling, is everything all right?
I can hardly believe it. That miracle I've been talking about seems to have actually happened. A cousin of my father's, Roland Strong, went to Canada before the war and set up in business. He's just died, and with no other family over there, he's left all of his money to my father, which, as father's gone, means to me. I inherit. I inherit £1 million.
Darling, you can buy back Stocksley.
Only one problem. How to get Burrows to sell.
A few more hours have passed. The clock chimes 11. Dinner is over. Guy, Mimsy and Ruth are together in the drawing room.
I must say, they have a fine cook here. That meal was excellent, don't you think, Mimsy? Mimsy?
Oh, I'm sorry. The meal. Yes, it was good, although I can't say I took too much notice. All I could think about was Guy's news.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't mind a windfall like that, and it certainly put Brian's nose out of joint. He is guessing you won't be living in that poky little lodge or paying him rent for much longer. I haven't seen him looking so sulky in a long time. It didn't take him long to disappear after dinner, did it?
It doesn't change anything, though, does it? He's still got this place. I can't see him selling it to me.
Oh, you never know. Something might happen to him. I'm sure that Sylvia will sell the place to you then. She'd be only too glad to see the back of Stocksley Manor and Brian Burrows.
Catchpole enters with a tray of small glasses.
It looks as though we're in for a treat. What is it, Catchpole?
Her ladyship has this secret brandy which she brings out on special occasions.
Don't tell anyone, but her brother found it when his unit cleared out Hitler's mountain retreat at the end of the war. It is probably worth a fortune. She'd like you all to have a taste of it. But maybe not today.
Sylvia enters.
Oh, dear. I'm afraid I've dropped my precious brandy. I was so wanting you to have a taste of it.
What happened? Did you trip?
No. Oh, how stupid of me. I know my wrists are still not really strong enough to get the bottle open. I should have let Catchpole do it, and now I've dropped it. And where on earth is Brian? I'm sorry, it's very rude of him to disappear when we have guests.
He's in the billiard room, m'lady, bashing the balls around.
The gramophone playing at full volume.
Well, that explains it. Something must have upset him. It could be anything, even a small thing. He goes down to the table and works off his frustration on the balls. He'll be there for ages. It's such bad manners.
Must have been Guy's good news that upset him.
Good news? What good news?
Don't worry about it, Sylvia. Speaking for myself, I've had a very enjoyable evening.
Oh, absolutely. We enjoyed the dinner enormously, didn't we, Mimsy? Mimsy?
Oh, sorry, Sylvia. I was just thinking.
Never mind, dear. I've got another bottle of Adolf's brandy hidden behind a book in the library, and Brian doesn't even know it's there.
Well, I'm up for a taste, but I hope you don't mind if I don't stay too long, will you, Sylvia? Mimsy just doesn't seem to be feeling herself tonight.
Oh, I am sorry, darling. Just time for that drink, though, Sylvia. I don't want to miss a taste of the Führer's favourite tipple. Then back around the lake in that noisy old jeep. I'm staying at Guy's place tonight. Separate rooms, of course.
Just one last drink, then. Follow me to the library. We'll sample the contents of that bottle. We're better off without Brian anyway.
They leave the room.